Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you don't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Jude. The New Testament book of Jude. Of course, there's only one chapter. If you're looking for the book of Jude, it's the book right before Revelation. So the Revelation is the last book in your Bible. The book right before that is the book of Jude. In the book of Jude, as we've explained before, is the corridor book leading from the epistles about how to be a Christian and how to run a church. It's the corridor that leads from the epistles to the end time study of the book of Revelation. We've been walking through the book of Jude now for, this is going to be week number 10, examining the different things from the book of Jude. And so if you don't mind, once again, we're going to start at the very top, from the very first verse, verse 1, and walk through to where we're going to be studying at today. So if you don't mind looking with me in the book of Jude, and notice with me starting at verse 1. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming about their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of which their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in adoration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark that last phrase that we just got through reading in verse number 19? The book of Jude in verse number 19, notice the phrase, having not the Spirit. Having not the Spirit. And with the Lord's help, we want to hit this lesson here as we explain from the book of Jude, they do not have the Holy Spirit. They do not have the Holy Spirit. As we examine this, we know that the whole context is talking about that there are apostates. There are people who deny the Word of God, who hate God. They call him here brute beasts. They call him here filthy dreamers. It gives these different descriptions of these apostates, and it's still continuing on describing them. And then it gives a list in verse number 19 of three specific points that it uses to describe them. One of them, they are without the Spirit. We know that the Bible talks about in the book of 1 John that we are supposed to try the spirits. It says in 1 John, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard it should come, even now is already in the world. The Bible says that we're supposed to try the spirits to see if they're of God. Not everyone who is claiming to be led of a spirit is the Holy Spirit. Not everyone. We're supposed to be able to judge everything by the truth of God's word. That is the determining factor of whether they're of God or not, is the idea of truth. Now, speaking of the Holy Spirit, where does someone get the Holy Spirit? Well, we know the moment that someone accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Holy Spirit, who is God, comes to live inside of our heart. Remember that Jesus Christ told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verily, verily, ye must be born again. And as he describes this, Nicodemus scratched his old silver head and said, I don't get it. It's not like I could crawl back into mom. How does this work out? And Jesus explains that we have to have two births. We have to have a physical birth, and we have to have a spiritual birth. Jesus describes that we have to have two births. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, becomes a part of you, and you become a new creature. You are regenerated or regene. You are now a new person. You are born again. When you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you, and He takes care of you. He watches over you. But notice what happens, the Bible describes in the book of Jude about these people who do not have the Spirit. Notice with me as we get a running start, verse number 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having persons in admiration because of advantage. Here it says, these apostates who deny God, that what they do is they murmur and complain about God's word. They murmur and complain about God. They murmur and complain about God's standards, God's holy righteousness. But they use their words to try to please men rather than truth. They're motivated by getting man's approval rather than God's approval. And so the Bible's describing these people that they murmur and complain about God. You give them a chance, they'll tell you about how God is not good, how God is not right. They'll tell you about how they don't like God's standards. They might not even use the word God, but they rebel against God's authority and God's standards and God's ways. And they rebel and they try to turn against everything that the Bible talks about and stands for. They rebel against truth. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 18. How that they told you that there should be mockers, verse 17. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken of before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there should be mockers in the last days who walk after their own ungodly lust. The Bible describes us a couple different passages here throughout the Bible, that there's going to be people in the last day who scoff against the Bible. Did you know that there's people who scoff against the Bible? There's people who don't like the Bible. And the Bible clearly defines why they don't like the Bible. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 18, howbeit they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. The Bible says the reason why they deny the Bible is not because the Bible's not true. It's because you can't prove it. It's because they don't want the Bible to have authority over them. They don't want God to have authority over them. They don't want God to tell them what to do. They want to do what they want to do. They want to consume it upon their own lust. So the Bible talks about these apostates in the last days. They're going to be doing everything they can to convince everyone that the Bible's not true, so that way they could justify their own actions. And then in verse number 19, it says three things about these apostates. These three things about these folks here. Let's see what the Bible says in verse number 19 and just take this list as the Bible describes them. First of all, these be they who separate themselves. They separate themselves. These are people who have changed the position of what the Bible says. They've changed. They've separate themselves. So what we have in this world is we have people who stick with the truth and people who separate from those who have truth. They deny something else. So we almost have two people, and we see that truth is a revealer of division. Truth reveals which side people are on. That when we take the Bible and say this is what the Bible says, we find out very quickly who's on the Lord's side and who is not. Because the Bible is truth. And these people here who murmur and complain against God, they hate God's word. When it's revealed, when it lines up with truth, we could see that they separated themselves. We didn't leave them, they left us. We're staying in the same position. They moved aside. And it's shown that they don't line up with the word of God. We know that even in churches, which is what Jude is specifically referring to, is religious people. We know that there are apostates and atheists and whatnot who hate God's word. But this is talking about people who are mixing themselves in churches. We know that there is mainline denominations who have left the truth. May I give an example? On the United Methodist website, they give their statement of faith. This represents all of the Methodists in the world. And on their website, they exclaim that they do not believe in the virgin birth. Meaning, they don't believe that Jesus Christ was born of Mary, who was a virgin at the time. They believe that Jesus had a natural birth and became God supernaturally. Well, that's not what the Bible says at all. Well, that's a big deal. We know that there are people in the Southern Baptist Convention, which I used to be a Southern Baptist. I'm now Independent Baptist by conviction. But they have left the truth in so many ways, and they're bringing people up. There are people that try to get into churches and denominations, and they try to drag people away from the truth of God's word, trying to be pleasing to men rather than pleasing to God. And what's going to happen is that the truth, they separate themselves. They move aside from the truth. The truth is here, and they go somewhere else. That's the first description that the Bible says about these people that we find in the book of Jude. Notice, if you don't mind, the second thing here in verse 19. These be they who separate themselves. Notice the second one, sensual. Sensual. The word sensual has to do with things that are natural. It means living life not by faith, but by natural senses. Hold your finger here. Let's see what the Bible describes this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 2. We're coming back to the book of Jude, but I want you to see what the Bible has to say about the natural man, the man who's living by his natural senses, someone who is not saved. They're just seeing things from their own natural eyes. Notice with me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice with me in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. But the natural man, so the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So here it's talking about the natural man, a man who is not saved, the man who sees things through his unsaved eyes, through the natural eyes. And notice what it says about spiritual things. In verse 14 again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So he doesn't receive the things by the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Someone who's not saved looks at saved people and the things they do and say, that doesn't make sense. That's stupid. Why in the world would someone wake up early on a Sunday morning to come to church? It doesn't make sense. Why would you waste a day like that? Why would you waste time reading a book that was written thousands of years ago? That doesn't make sense. Why in the world would you take time to pray? Don't you pray? Because there's no one listening to you. You see, the things that the Christians do, it doesn't make sense to them. How do you give money to a church? That doesn't make sense. You could do something better than that. You're just throwing it away. The things of man, it doesn't make sense to them because the Bible says they are spiritually discerned. Do you know that there are some things that Christians do that only make sense because God reveals it to us and we go, aha? Let's take baptism. We know that baptism doesn't save us, but the Bible gives a command, first step of obedience for a Christian after they've come to know Jesus Christ, to get baptized. So let's look at it through a natural man's eyes. So let me get it straight. The waters don't save me. They don't wash away my sins. They don't do anything. But you want me to get in the water in front of everyone. You want to put me all the way under the water and bring me back up. And it does nothing for me? It doesn't make sense to them. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to them. That's foolishness. You're out of your mind. You want me to get wet in front of everyone and it's not even a nice pool? Not even a water slide attached to it? Why? Well, the Bible says that these things are spiritually discerned. Why should someone get baptized? Because they want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus put baptism there to see if they're going to be obedient. You understand that's a spiritual test. By the way, the more that we as Christians walk in the Spirit, there are more things that make sense. However, even in a Christian, if a Christian decides not to be obedient to God, there are many things about the Christian life that does not make sense if you look through it through natural eyes, through eyes of the flesh, rather than things that are spiritually discerned by God. Does it make sense? It means why, for Christians, as we apply it to ourselves, the closer you get with God, the more understanding you will have of God's word and what God is trying to get accomplished. So there's always more things to discover, more things to understand. There are things now that a pastor may say, hey, just go ahead and do this. Well, I don't understand why. Obey first, and then God will give you understanding. The Bible talks about that in the book of Proverbs. There are some things that only make sense because they're spiritually discerned as we grow in the Lord and surrender to Him. There are many things like that in the Bible that later on, as you become more mature, you will go, I get it now. I didn't understand it before. I get it now. Oh, wow. That's wonderful. That's how wonderful God's Spirit is. But there are people who deny God's word, that don't want to obey God's word, that look things through natural eyes, and it doesn't make sense to them because these things are spiritually discerned. To them, it is foolishness. If you don't mind, let's go back to the book of Jude and notice with me in verse number 19. These be they that separate themselves, sensual, notice this, having not the Spirit. So the third description here of these apostates is that they have not the Spirit. What does this mean? It means they're not saved in the first place. They were never been born again. All of their behavior comes to pass because they don't have the Spirit. It is shocking to think of how many people who identify with churches and religion may be lost. I heard of a preacher by the name of Adrian Rogers, who is a big name in Memphis, Tennessee, had a radio program that went nationally. He said this. He said, I believe up to half of my church, the folks in my church, aren't even saved. Think about that. A pastor preaches the gospel, says, I think about half of my church isn't saved. What does he mean by that? Because there's a lot of people who identify with religion, who identify with churches, but they've never come to the place where they've been born again, where they've accepted Jesus as their Savior. And they don't have the Spirit living within them. And now they don't have spiritual discernment. They don't have the Holy Spirit guiding them. We don't have the Holy Spirit working with us. And so because of this, the lost people help direct the church away if you have more lost people than saved people. May I give a historical example? We know that many of the people that came to our country during the colony days came for the purpose of religious freedom. However, because the only model they had was the Church of England, they followed the same model when they got here. What do I mean by that? Well, the Church of England has a church-state government, meaning that the church and state are mixed together. So when many of the pilgrims came to America, what they did is they set up governments that said that in order to serve in a political post, you had to be a member of the church. Well, the Bible says there needs to be a separation between church and government. However, that's what they wanted. That's how they set it up. That's how they were influenced. That's how they learned. So they thought that's how they were supposed to do it. Well, that was fine for the beginning part, but as generations came to pass, you started to have more people who were not saved. Now you didn't have enough people who were qualified according to their rules to be in government. So you only had a few people who were saved, who were a part of the church, who could serve in government. You didn't have enough laborers, enough people to make the government function. So they came up with a compromise that said, well, in order to be a member of the church, you no longer just have to be saved. As long as your parents were a member of the church, you can become a member of the church. So now they now can get more people to be members of the church and more people to serve in the government. Well, as you start having more people who are a part of a church who are not saved, who do not have the Spirit, who are no longer spiritually discerned, what happens is it brings the whole church and directs them away from God because the people are look through carnal eyes, through natural eyes, through sensual eyes, and are not spiritually discerned and no longer obey the Bible, and it directs them away, which led the whole country to have a mess. Before even the, that was the conditions were while we were still in the colonies. Enter in the First Great Awakening. When the First Great Awakening came, people like the Wesleys, John and Charles Wesley, George Whitfield, Jonathan Edwards, they began to preach throughout messages. For example, a powerful message of Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And when he preached this message, he gave a description that you were hanging over the pits of hell just like a string, as thin as a spider web, holding you over. And any time that string could break and you would fall into the depths of hell. And the only way of escape is if Jesus Christ would save you and keep you and bring you away from that pit that you were hanging over. And people got saved. By the way, what people got saved? People who are members of churches. And what happened is that you started to get people who were in members of the churches that finally got saved, and it course corrected some of those churches. And we don't want to go further into history and see what happened as the aftermath. But that was the condition when Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, John and Charles Wesley preaching, they were preaching to church members who were not saved. And many church members got saved. But because church members were not saved, it brought those denominations, it brought those churches away from God's word and more of a worldly secular view and how they ran. That's exactly what the Bible is talking about here, is that Satan wants to populate churches and get people an influence of people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and to draw them away because they look religious. Even John the Baptist, when he looked at the religious Pharisees of his days and he said, "Ye vipers, who hath warned you of the judgment to come?" Can you imagine a preacher looking at some people and saying, "Ye vipers from the pits of hell"? By the way, there are sometimes we need to get people's attention and let them know, hey, there's something wrong here. And that's what good old-fashioned Bible preaching does, is brings people to the place. We're not being unloving. We're being very loving by trying to wake them up and saying, hey, there's something wrong that needs to be fixed. So as we think about these people, we know that there's many people who are spiritually hungry. They want to know truth, but they don't know where to get truth. May I give an illustration that I heard of recently? I heard that in Cape Cod, Florida, there was two small teenagers, probably about 10, 12, a boy and a girl, that were caught digging in an old woman's trash can to eat. And when the old woman confronted them, they told her a little bit of her story and found out that they had been eaten out of her trash can for about 3 or 4 days. When she went to go call for help to try to help these kids, they took off, and they eventually found where these kids were had set up a cardboard box, and they were living right beside some bushes just to kind of survive. And now as the temperatures were turning cold, they weren't going to be able to survive there. But think about these kids that were so desperate. They were digging through the trash because they wanted substance. They wanted food. Then we think of many people who are searching for truth, and the only way they could find it is by digging in trash, spiritual trash, because they're so spiritually hungry, they want to know something. And all they could find is spiritual trash. You think about those kids. If you knew about those kids, wouldn't you want to help them out? Wouldn't you want to get them some food? Wouldn't you want to do something for them? Well, we have a lot of people who are spiritually starving out there, who want to know truth. There are many people who want to know the truth. They don't know where to get it from. And so they start digging in trash to try to fill that spiritual need that they have, that's hunger. How can we alleviate that? We need to go out and give them some good food. We need to give them the Word of God. Let them feast on the Word of God. Let them learn of God and who He is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. We need to let them see for themselves that God is good and give them the pure Word of God. Again, there are so many people who want to know the truth. We just got to get to them and find them and help them out. We need to be giving people the truth right now, because if we don't, someone else is going to try to feed them garbage, and they deserve better than that. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.